The story before our reading this morning is a difficult one because Jesus has gotten into a major confrontation with religious authorities in the town of Gennesaret on the northwestern coast of the Sea of Galilee. It starts as a usual confrontation, as confrontations go in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus arrives and does some miracle or some teaching, and then that work develops a following. Then the authorities show up, and there's something critical that they say. In this case, of all things, that Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands before they ate. We are told in verse 3 of this chapter that the religious leaders, and all Jews for that matter, would not eat unless they washed their hands. They also would wash food from the market and would wash cups and pots and kettles. These are, of course, sound practices, here grounded in religious tradition, however, rather than hygiene, but it sounds good nonetheless. And I'm sure after the confrontation is over and Jesus and his disciples are walking to the region of Tyre, he's like, you guys still need to wash your hands. I mean, this is just what you need to do. But he handles the criticism with this story in an interesting way. Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah by saying, "The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching silly precepts as doctrines." And he points out that the religious leaders may wash their hands, but break God's commandment when they refuse to support their elderly parents through a religious loophole called Corban. It's all in the first part of this chapter. It's kind of a very interesting concept. Jesus then turns to the crowd after arguing with these authorities and says something like, it's what comes out of a person that matters, not what goes in. Actions matter. The good you bring matters. Remaining faithful matters. The other stuff, like ritual for the sake of ritual, just not so much. And then it seems like Jesus kind of drops the mic and walks away and takes a really long walk. About 30 miles, it's estimated, from where the argument takes place to the region of Tyre. Perhaps Jesus was trying to get away after this confrontation, or perhaps he was a little tired, for the journey was nearly 30 miles, likely on foot. And when he got to his lodging, he put a do not disturb sign on the door. Again, another theme in Mark, the do not disturb sign for Jesus never works. A Greek woman, a Syrophoenician woman, identifies, the word Syrophoenician identifies her as a Greek woman, Hellenistic, cosmopolitan, likely someone from the city of Tyre and not just the region. A different ethnic group than Jesus. This woman comes to Jesus and begs that he save her troubled daughter. And many of us have heard this difficult story already. Jesus says that he's only here for his people, and then he calls the woman a dog. And there's no softening the blow of this insult. It was a common derogatory word used at the time to describe outsiders in Jesus' culture, but particularly those from this region. Aside from their practice of polytheism, the region of Tyre was wealthy and cosmopolitan. The residents of the region owned land and used Jews from the south, where Jesus grew up in Galilee, to work the land. Conditions, according to ancient manuscripts, were awful for these workers. And so there was a deep resentment built up between where Jesus grew up and the other side of the tracks. Not only was this woman an outsider for Jesus, one that did not worship the God of Israel, in this passage, she could have also had more power than Jesus. She was on her home turf. And she had most likely the ability to own land. In some ways, you could argue that she represents those that oppress Jesus' people, hence this very negative discourse. Yet this woman continues to advocate, using self-deprecation and wit to help her daughter. And Jesus, moved, agrees to help the troubled girl. This story for us comes a couple of times over the 3-year cycle of the lectionary. The next story that we have doesn't. It's actually only found in the Gospel of Mark, and it only comes up on this Sunday. Again, Jesus is well outside Jewish territory. Some have argued that he's laying low after this confrontation from the religious authorities until the end of the chapter. There, some folks bring one of their friends, a man who is deaf and has difficulty speaking, to Jesus. Jesus takes the man aside and heals him. The man, now able to hear and talk, departs with his friends, proclaiming the good news. Here it seems that the two stories are about speaking and hearing. Speaking with courage and hearing with new ears. The Syrophoenician woman is courageous, the protagonist of this story, advocating on behalf of her daughter. The man, brought by his friends, received new life, with his hearing repaired and his tongue loosed. He proclaimed the good things of Jesus. Usually, these stories point to the boundary crossing of Jesus, his ability, however reluctantly and offensively, to go to the others to bring healing. Sometimes we learn in spite of Jesus, like this story, instead of because of Jesus. But Jesus learns here. Usually these stories serve as a primer for future work of Jesus' followers among non-Jews, setting precedent for work outside of the boundaries of first century Judaism. These folks also serve as foils to the critical religious leaders in the earlier chapter. The learned don't get it, but the outsiders seem to. But something that is often not mentioned in these two passages as a common thread is the idea of advocacy. Advocacy on behalf of another. The two healed folks, the troubled girl and the man who could not speak or hear, had no social standing. Children had no social standing in the ancient world, no political power, of course. Most often they were treated as property. Disabled people had no social standing in the ancient world either, usually barred from politics and forbidden from entering religious sites. The girl and the man could speak for themselves, but nobody was listening, except the girl's mother and the man's friends. There's a phrase in social justice circles, giving voice to the voiceless. It is used primarily in advocacy situations in which people with power and privilege use their social capital to advocate the cause or need of those with little or no capital. In these settings, the plight of others, the marginalized, the abused, or oppressed, is advocated by intermediaries to make concrete change. The only qualm I have with the phrase giving voice to the voiceless is I think that folks in dire situations are already speaking for themselves, but very few are listening. Children spoke about abuse in the church 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and no one listened. In 2018 is projected to be the hottest year on record for planet Earth again, breaking the record set last year. But not so many folks are listening. In our town, the Little Free Pantry at the bottom of our parking lot, which is a new, pretty incredible thing, is being used every day to the point where we're actually having a hard time replenishing it quick enough, despite the fact that we are all bringing in things and folks from the community are bringing things in throughout the week. People in this town are speaking. They're saying we're hungry. I think the first work of an advocate is to listen, to hear the stories of abuse or neglect or need, to be observant, mindful, and self-limiting, and to be selfless. I love how George Bernard Shaw tweaked the words of Jesus when he said, "Do not do unto others as you would that they should do unto you. Their taste may not be the same." Reminds us all of the humility and the role of the advocate. It acknowledges the commonality of all human beings who work and live and strive to make life work, but that we are all indeed different. Our two stories this morning have Jesus in the back seat in some ways. The heroes of the story are those that saw a need and did everything in their power to make a difference. They heard the voice of those with little power, and they advocated on their behalf. I wonder what stories we hear in our lives, you know, throughout our week, when we go to work, or when we hang out with the people that we know, when we go to the grocery store. What do we observe? Where are the voices speaking while no one is listening? May God grant us ears to hear the sounds of those voices and courage and faith enough to act on them. Amen.